This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, episode 167, The Spy Who Loved Me from 1977. I'm your host, Alex Figueroa. My co-host is
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
All right, Nate, so let's start off with the Rotten Tomato scores. Let's see how the critics and the audience have to say about this film.
All right, so the first two, not amazing. The scores were not amazing. So this one, uptick, both critically, from critics and with audiences. This one has actually an 81% critic score and a 76% audience score. So pretty well received, especially compared to the last two. The last one was very low, and the first one was like in the 50s, I think. So 81, pretty high, just setting the bar. I don't know. You know, I've watched two of these Roger Moore movies, and you said this is known as the better one or one of the best ones. So was it? I don't know.
The funny thing is that because we're seeing them from the year date they're released, right? So we started off with the Live and Let Die, then right into The Man with the Golden Gun, right into The Spy Who Loved Me. The next one is Moonraker. Then the following is For Your Eyes Only. So the funny thing is the ones that are really good, you're going to start laughing because it's like the ones that are between stinks. I'm telling you right now, Moonraker is not good.
I'm looking forward to Moonraker.
We're going to look forward to it. Yeah, that's the one he goes to space. But then For Your Eyes Only is another good one. But yeah, when it comes to The Spy Who Loved Me, it's a very good movie. And the cool thing is it has one of the special vehicles that makes Bond Bond that people went crazy for. We're going to talk about it, of course, during the action sequence. But with that said, let's start off with the opening number, which was Nobody Does It Better, sang by Carly Simon.
Carly Simon. I mean, a legend. Yeah. You know what? This was interesting. So as far as the song goes, it's like a slow song, which... And it's not, you know, crazy unusual. The new James Bond, like Skyfall is a slow song. So yep. It's not like you can't do slow songs. But Carly Simon is like a music icon, you know, singer-songwriter. And I like the song. I thought the song was good. Like as a song, I think it's a really good song. And also the visuals, this time much better than the last movie. The last movie was just some water for if any movie should have had water, it should have been this one. Because there's submarines and the whole storyline's about submarines. But for some reason, the last movie had water. This one, way better. Gun shooting, naked ladies, like really naked. You could see a lot more in this opening credits than any other one. I'm like, oh my gosh. And this movie's rated PG, but there's definitely boobs. They show them right there in the credits. I thought it was good. Not the best. I'm going to give it a 4. I liked it, but I liked the song. I think the song was really good. And Carly Simon's voice, very nice. I thought the opening credits was a way step up from the last one.
Yeah, I mean, this is funny because, I mean, it does have the title of the song from the movie, The Spy Who Loved Me, is in the song, but it's not the title of the song, which is funny, right? So, yeah. But I thought it did work very well with the opening. It worked well. I agree, the video segments was the traditional Bonds, but it didn't give you as much of what the movie's about either. But it was really good. It was way better than the last one, The Man with the Golden Gun. 100 times better than that. The song I liked more. So the song, I gave it a 5. In terms of visuals and the naked women and all that, the silhouettes, I gave it a 4. I agree with you on that one. I mean, you do get Roger Moore in the silhouettes also with the females. You do get the Russian that it's from Russia. We'll talk about that in a few. Why? But I thought it worked well. I did enjoy this one way more than The Man with the doom, doo, 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 doo. Yeah,
I that's I agree. The last one. First out of the three movies, the first one was the only one that it kind of tied into the movie, mm-hmm. like with all the stuff. This one didn't really. You're right, but it was still more visually appealing than the water one. You know what I mean? If the next one doesn't have them like floating around in space, I'll be minus 1 point automatic. Don't tell me.
Maybe. Minus I don't know. I haven't seen that opening in ages.
But it better. It better. Don't
tell me. Yeah, all right. So look, with that said, let's get right into Roger Moore for the third time playing as 007 James Bond with lead character Sir Roger Moore. Neat.
I haven't been crazy about my man, Raj. You know, he's just seems like an uncle, my British uncle.
Yeah.
That's what he seems like, my British Uncle Raj. But you know what? Took a turn for me in this one. Pretty good. I liked him in this one. Maybe it's because of the fact that this one of the three was the most serious out of all the three of them. Way less goofy, corny humor. Now, there's some absurd things, and we'll get into them in storyline. But if I can honestly say that this movie is way less goofy than the first two. And wouldn't you know it, by just kind of playing it straight and more serious, Roger Moore is way better in this movie, in my opinion. I thought he was way better. This, honestly, this storyline works. You know what it reminded me of? This reminded me of a Pierce Brosnan Bond movie.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. As far as the tone, as far as the storyline, like, I know they don't remake the Bond, like, storylines, but if they ever did, the Brosnan could have done this exact same, like, movie. But it fits in his sort of, you know, Daniel Craig's are overly serious. They're, like, super serious. Yeah. Brosnan's, I feel like, were the balance of, like, serious, but a little humor. And then, so far, the more movies have just been goofballs. But this one seems like Brosnan. I liked him a lot. He still does his goofy karate fighting, but way less of it. So it was, you know, it's less annoying. I liked his relationship with the girl, even though he's still, of all the Bonds so far, yeah, he's a little forceful when it comes to the women. You know, he kind of a little bit of a toucher. But I did like his dynamic with her more in this one than in any of the previous two.
Yeah.
So I liked him. I give him a 4. I thought this was his best outing by far.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Roger Moore, I gave him a 4.5. I thought he was really good. And the crazy thing is, right now we're third movie in out of 7. Yeah. This is Bond. Like, it's crazy, right? Like, when you see him now, you go, wait, he has the charm. His voice, I mean, I don't care what anyone says, that dude's British voice is so awesome. I love it.
It's really good.
It's really good. Like, it's just something about the voice that is so, it's so, like, smooth, like, when he speaks. But, yeah, in terms of him as 007, yeah, he fit this movie. And you're absolutely right. Pierce Brosnan would have I think he would have got, like, nominated for something if this was the actual movie. Because they both have, one thing they do have over Craig is charm. Daniel Craig does not have charm at all. But then again, those scripts were not written to be charmed. He was more of the aggressive 007, real spy looking. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, he was good. I love the interactions between him and Triple X, the girl. I thought that worked well with the Moscow situation. I mean, with Russia helping with MI6. I thought that was all pretty good. It felt good. You're right. Him as fighting. I know we're going to tackle that in the action sequence, but you're right. It was toned down a bit. Again, it still hurt, but I was like, I'm not going to take away points because, again, he's not known for an action. And back then, I mean, this is 77. Action movies never got to that the pinnacle point of what we know now of hand-to-hand and everything. Once it hits the 80s, once that stuff happens, that's when we get action movies where the stars are hands-on, ass-whipping all over the place. So right now, the 70s, you could do judo chops and judo kicks all you want. And dudes get knocked out. But
he did less, which was
he
good.
He did less.
He did less, and he did more shooting in this one.
Yeah, no. I thought it was pretty cool. So with that said, I gave it 4.5. You gave it a 4. Now let's get to... Quick. Yeah.
You know what scene I really liked with him as far as, like, it really made his character better? It was short. He's talking with the agent, and he orders her the drink, right? He knows what drink she wants, and then she knows what drink he wants. And he's like, oh, okay, so you know about me. And then she starts, like, talking about him and who he is. And she gets to the part about, you know, you were married once, she died. And then you could see he kind of is like, okay.
Yeah, you got to enough. The point.
Like, yeah, and it was good because it added a layer to him that he hasn't had yet. You know, he's like a playboy, but there's a reason why. He loved one time and whoever that was died. And I thought it was good. It was a good acting scene. And that automatically, I was like, I'm going to give him a 4 because this is a way better version. So, yes.
Well, the cool thing is we did not get to see that movie. You do get to see 007 get married, but that's the continuation that you were talking about. They did bring that continuation of him being married, and they do... I mean, you already know they killed her.
I mean, because, watching them out of order, it's interesting because now I don't know who that was, but it added a nice layer to this movie.
Yeah, so you get to see that. His he got really serious. He was like really like... He's like, you got to the point. Yeah, he was just like, he got really serious. And you're absolutely right. All right, so let's get to the actual main villain here. Now, his name was Stromberg.
Yeah.
Right? And Jaws.
He's like a super henchman. Rich. Yeah. So I was going to give the villain a 3 because he's generic. But I added in Jaws to the scenario. Because let's be honest, Jaws is the villain of this movie.
Yeah.
And my man Jaws is like a horror movie villain. He's like, he's 7 feet tall. Yeah. He got gigantic hands. He has metal teeth.
He looks.
And he kills people by biting them in the neck with his metal teeth. And he's horrifying. He's like, he's giant. He's scary looking. Like, I would love to see him in a slasher movie. Like, screw Michael Myers, screw Jason. Give me Jaws just walking around a neighborhood being gigantic. You can't hurt him. They did. So, he got dropped into water with a shark. With an actual shark, and he bit the shark.
He ate the shark, bro.
Ate the shark. I love Jaws. I love him. So just for that, I bumped the overall villain score to a 4. It's still not a 5. He would be a 5 if he was like the main villain. Because he's a henchman, I gotta be fair. I just added a point to the other villain. But the other main villain, I'll keep it short. He was good. Like, he had a good plan as far as a villain plan, you know, with the nuclear weapons and stealing that. He was stealing submarines. He's super rich. I do like his opening scene where he's sitting at the 30-mile-long dinner table, and he has the lady go in the elevator. Then they drop her down a slide into the shark tank, and then she gets eaten by a shark. Yeah. I was like, okay, this villain is about, he means business. But then he goes away for like 40 an hour. Minutes. They don't even show him again.
Yeah.
So that's why Jaws carries the movie as the villain. I'm going to give him a combined 4.
You know, I agree with you. I gave it a 4 also, but not for Stromberg. He was weak. And it's crazy because I know we did Christopher Lee, Scaramanga, and then we did the other guy. We gave him a high score. Yeah. We gave him a high score. But honestly, this guy is the Dominic Green of the 3. He is not good.
True. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah, he's not. He's useless. Like, he had an underground facility in the water, which, by the way, looked very good now, which I was shocked. I thought it was going to be like some corny toy coming out the water.
No,
but
it looked good.
It looked really good. I said, okay, this actually looks really good. You're right. His plot points were very good. He was good at times, but then there was times that he has like web. If you notice, he had like the webbing. So he looked like a fish himself. So I was just like,
he loves water.
Yeah, he loves water. So I was like, okay, it's cool. But he never got to fight Bond. Like, Bond killed his ass quick. If you thought Christopher Lee died quick, my man died quick. He shot him, and he said, let me return the favor, and shot him through like a tube.
He shoots him through the tube where, I don't, who knows where the bullet goes in his nuts or something. And then he shoots him up like a few more times. It was awesome.
Yeah, well, you got that, right? And then the crazy thing is, this is the first time we really got to see Bond empty a clip on a villain. He emptied a clip. He was just like, bang, 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 bang. He was just like, And then he got stuck on the table. He was just like.
You know what was my favorite, too, though? That gun he had under the table might have been the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. He had a gun that had a silencer tube on it that was like a mile long. By the time he pulled the trigger, James Bond had time to jump out the chair and move out the way. But it looked hilarious. It made me laugh.
No, I agree with you. Like, it was hilarious. I was like, yo, that table thing was funny. My favorite thing is when he gets on the elevator and goes, Mr. Bond, now you die. And he has the button, and he's like, he's there. He's just standing there with the gun. I was like, oh, my God. Like, how did he know that the thing was going to open? So, like, that was actually pretty cool. But like I said, the villain, his goal was actually pretty cool. But Jaws, let me just say Jaws, man. Jaws is honestly the best 007 henchman. Yeah. If we had to rank him, which we could do a ranking on them, he's number 1. He is so awesome. The dude survived rocks falling on him. He fell out of the window of a moving train and got up and dusted off the... right? He fought his a injuries. Freaking... Yeah, he fought a shark and bit the shit out of the shark. And I was like, yo, this dude...
he ripped the side panel off a van with his bare hands.
Yeah,
he stopped the van from reversing. He just like couldn't hold... I mean, it's stupid, but he's like... I'm telling you, he's like a Terminator, this guy.
No, he was good. You know what's crazy? And I was telling my wife, I said, you know what's nuts? If we had to pick somebody to to bring him back to life in the new Bond movie, I think I know who could play him. And you might agree with him. You might agree with me. Okay. You might agree. The basketball player that was in John Wick 4 that fought him in the library.
Boban Marjanovic.
Yeah,
his name is Boban Marjanovic.
Boba Marakovic. Yeah, that
he's
guy.
He's like 7'3". That guy.
Perfect. That's Jaws. Right? Because he has the
talk.
Big hands.
Jaws doesn't even talk.
No, he don't. He smirks. He's like, and he has the big, he looked exactly like him. I said, yo, you could get the guy from John Wick. Because he actually did hand-to-hand for the scene. He learned how to fight Keanu Reeves for that movie. And I was like, yo, he could actually be the new Jaws. Like, and I love how he ate the lock in the door. He went,
the chain.
Yeah, the chain.
And he breaks it. Yeah.
I loved it. Jaws is cool.
Not only does he have metal teeth, though, he also apparently has the strongest jaw of all time that you can bite through a chain. Like, I guess the writers didn't think of that. They're like, the metal's enough. If you just have metal, you just could bite through anything.
He got electrical shock. He was like,
that was hilarious. See, here's the thing. This movie is somehow less goofy, but I laughed way more in this one than I did in the other two.
Yeah.
That crab was, when he sticks a little wire in his mouth, I laughed so hard when I was watching it. It was awesome.
Yeah, I thought it worked, though. And I think that's what it was. You took the what's the disbelief? I forgot
the absurdity.
Scene.
There's some, you have to have a suspension of disbelief.
That's what it is, yeah.
It's an absurd movie, really. Yeah. But it's played straight. That's why it worked.
Exactly. It had a serious tone, but then it gave you a little bit of far-fetched stuff. We're talking about far-fetched. Let's get right into some action sequence, because we got some good ones and some hilarious action sequence here.
Hilarious.
So go ahead, Nate.
Let me
tell
you that this is what I mean about the absurdity of it, because the last movie, all of them are the first two are goofy. The big difference here is in this movie, James Bond, this is when I texted the group when I was watching it, James Bond has a car that turns into a submarine car. And that was really down there driving, because there's people on little boats and he crashes into them on film. There's no CGI back then. So I don't know how they did it, but it was pretty cool. But the difference is that they just do it. We're in the last movie. Okay. The total different directors, because the last movie you had that car jump, remember? And like, it was a cool stunt. And it goes like the sound effects are like, you know, why did they add this dumb sound effect to this cool movement? This one, it's like, this is kind of dumb, but they're playing it dead serious. Like, there's no goofy sound effects. There's no corny little beep, 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 cartoon noises. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it worked better. The action scenes were good. I don't think I'll ever give any of these movies a 5, personally, because unless it's a 1.5 hours of explosions, it's just too basic for me to give it a 5. You know, like you said, 70s action, there are movies that have 5, you know, like I'm thinking something like maybe the car chase scene in The French Connection or something like that. You know, like, it's so well executed and ahead of its time. Nothing in this is ahead of its time, but this one has the best action so far. There's like a lot of shooting, explosions. The scene when they're in the boat, when the big boat captures the submarine and they're doing like the escape, and they're throwing grenades and they're shooting.
They're blowing stuff everywhere. Up.
Yeah. There's grenades everywhere. And it was pretty good. Little hand-to-hand, not as much, which was good. The underwater scene. I liked the underwater scene. I thought it was cool. I like the guys that come out on their little like underwater motorcycles, and then he just crashes into them with the car. And I thought it was neat. I liked that. I thought the action was actually good. I gave it a 4. It's been the best of, again, so far, James Bond was the best of the three movies. I think the action was the best of the three movies for me.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to action sequence, I went above you a little bit. I gave it a 4.5 because we got a lot of action in this movie. The movie started off on a skiing action scene.
That one was good.
It was awesome.
That was good.
I mean, you can see the
green
screen.
That guy jumped off of that mountain, whoever that was. That stunt double. That was awesome.
And that's the thing, like, that's where it elevated for me to the 0.5 point to 4.5, because that was you know, one thing 007 does very well that Tom Cruise do now is the practical jumping and everything. 007 has been doing that for, I mean, ages, decades. All right. You saw it in this movie, because I told my wife, I said, wait, this exact sequence of him jumping off the canyon is exactly what he did with the motorcycle in the new Mission Impossible trailer that we saw, that he just catapulted out, which I bet we're going to see it in one of the Bond movies, that he does the motorcycle catapult, whatever. But it's awesome. I was like, yo, I mean, we did get the green screen, right?
That was hilarious.
It was hilarious. But you know what? It worked, because you're not going to have Roger Moore going down a mountain getting shot at. But I like the opening. The opening was so awesome. I was like, now, you know, you're getting the business. when the 007 just finished banging a chick, she turned on him, and he's getting chased by the dudes. And I was like, now this is a cool opening. That was cool. You know, the fights between him and Jaws was actually, I liked it because Jaws is just unbeatable. And he's like a video game villain that you didn't know how to beat him. So I thought that was cool. The Lotus car chase was awesome on the mountain when they were going through the car, when they were chasing each other.
That one guy flies off. It's like a rubber body.
he was like this. It's so funny. That car chase with the Lotus was awesome, and then when he goes into the submarine, I said this is the shit. I was like this is what I'm talking about. I love the underwater sequence, and I love when he shot the missile with the hot chick in the helicopter.
I was like this shit has missiles
that goes and hits the helicopter. I was like this is it, man. People cannot tell me that this is a bad action movie, because it cannot be. This had everything you wanted, from a chase in the Alps to the underwater fights. And then you got the actual, like you said, the ending of Bond raising havoc, getting the chick and then destroying the palace. I mean, it was just awesome. Yeah. It reminded me of the Tomorrow Never Dies with Pierce Brosnan, right? When they had that stealth boat and then it was just destroying everywhere. That's what it reminded me a bit. But yeah, no, I thought it was good. I gave it a 4.5 just because of the opening. It was just so good leading up to the song. So 4.5, you gave it a 4. Let's get to storyline.
Yep. Again, strong. I thought the storyline in this was really good. First of all, I liked it. Again, I liked the character dynamic between him and what's her name? Asimova, I think is the character. The Agent XXX, her real name was like Agent Asimova or something like that.
Anya.
Yeah, and I like their dynamic. I like the little, once the reveal comes out that he killed her, like, lover, you know, and she's like, when this is over, I'm going to kill you. It's like, ooh, okay, we're going to add a little bit of intrigue. I like that. Again, I thought the villain's plan was solid for a Bond movie. You know what I mean? Jaws was great. I love the scene where he's trying to go find the guy named Fekish, and they're at that outside, like, Egypt thing. Yeah, and the way the lights keep switching, and Jaws is standing there, ominous, and then the lights come on, and he gets up, and he that whole scene was great. I was like, this movie is really good. For most of the time, there was a few times where I was like, this guy's stupid. But most of the time, I was like, this is pretty good. I love when they, like I said, when they meet at the bar, and the little banter, and then the other guy goes in the phone booth. And I loved all that. I thought the storyline was very strong. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out. I'm gonna be a wild man here. I'm actually going to give the storyline a 5. I really didn't have an issue.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I did not have an issue with the storyline of the movie. I thought it was good. I thought it was really strong. And I enjoyed when there wasn't, like, there's a lot of action. But when there wasn't, I was into it. I was like, this is pretty good. I like that the Russians and England are working together, and they have that weird pyramid base that they built like in the pyramid. Yes. In the pyramid. Like,
that's so weird. Yeah,
that's the kind of stuff where it's like, this is kind of goofy, but it also works in the story they're telling. It didn't feel out of left field. You know what I mean? It felt natural for this movie. So I'm gonna give it a 5. I didn't have a problem.
I agree with you. I mean, it was a great. It was. Coming from Man with the Golden Gun, this was a solid.
Maybe that helped too, make it way better.
It was way better. I always like when they hijack submarines or they blow the shit up and they take the warheads. A lot of Bond movies is all about stealing warheads and all that. But this storyline was actually really cool. It was they stole 3 submarines, and basically he was using it to, you know, release the nuclear warheads and blow up and make a new world order. So I was like, okay, cool. Now Bond has to save the day with XXX, you know.
They stole 16 missiles.
What's up with 16 missiles? Like,
I don't know. It was a lot, but 16.
Yeah, so they had a lot of missiles. And I thought it worked. To be honest with you, the storyline, at times it felt long because it was 2 hours and change, I believe.
Yeah.
It felt long at some times, but I was really digging the story. I was really into it. Like I said, the action sequences were so much better in this movie. And then when he gets to Q Branch, you do get to see all the gadgets come to life, which I always like that stuff when you see people doing all the gadgets. And my favorite was the guy, he was messing with the thing and it boinked him out.
Oh, he's sitting on the little spring. He gets launched off the spring. That was hilarious.
That one, and then the tray that cut the dude's head off, and he goes, "We got to get this ready for the
some dinner party." I'm like, when will you ever need a tray that slides down a table at 100 miles an hour and cuts someone's head off?
They were going to assassinate someone really bad. It was going to look good.
What is up with this movie and long tables too? That scene, the bad guy has literally a 50 foot long dinner table.
Yeah. No, I thought that, look, it was perfect. You got everything I think you want in a Bond movie. You got the gadgets. Yo, talk about gadgets. What's up with the phone, the watch with the printer that was going click, 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 click.
Oh, yeah. He prints out a little tick tape with information.
Yeah, I said, you got a report in 007. That's when he told the chick that he had to go.
Come on, man. This had the gadgets just for you because it knew it you were, you know, you're like, where's my gadgets?
Yeah. So I loved it. I said, this is it. This is it. I agree. I gave it a 5. The storyline is really awesome. If you're into 70s movies, like, again, not many people will be into this type of movie. Some people are not. But to me, the storyline worked very well if you're into spy espionage type movies. All right. Yeah. Overall,
again, this is a Pierce Brosnan. This is the best Pierce Brosnan James Bond movie that Pierce Brosnan wasn't in. It really reminds me of his 90s, early 2000s Bond movies. It takes itself serious while having some really goofy, absurd stuff. And, you know, the absurd moments, I laughed. But also, I'm like, well, this is the 70s, and also this is Bond. It's, you know, you got to take everything with some grain of salt here. So I thought it was a lot of fun. One thing where I differ a little, like, I think the pacing was really good because the last two movies, there was like these long stretches where I was like really bored. I was like, what is happening? At least here, everything kind of flowed better to me. I love the end, and they go in the escape pod, and there's, for some reason, there's a bed in this escape pod. Him and the girl are in the bed, and she's going to kill him, and then he's like, well, before you kill me, and then she just changes her mind, and then they're hooking up, and then everybody sees them, and then they close the curtains. It's hilarious. I give it a four. This is my favorite one so far, the Roger Moore era. And to be honest, of all the Bond movies that I've watched so far, I will probably put this one pretty high as far as my enjoyment. I really liked it. I thought it was good.
Yeah, I mean, this one, I gave it a 4. I agree with you with everything. I mean, you have, again, you got the gadgets, you got Q, you got a good villain, you got Jaws, one of the most legendary henchmen in Bond history. And then you got, like, you know, you got the Russians working with the MI6 to come together. Look, you have everything in the total package. This is one of the top Roger Moore movies. If you ask anyone, Spy Who Loved Me has to be there in the top 5 or top 3, really, because he has 7. Yeah. So top 3 of anyone list should be The Spy Who Loved Me.
That'd be one or two.
Yeah, has to be. But yeah, this was one of my dad's favorite ones, The Spy Who Loved Me. He liked that one.
Why.
Yeah, and he liked For Your Eyes Only, too. So I got to see if he was right.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
But no, I thought this was really cool. It was a good movie. So look, I gave it a 4. You gave it a 4. Your total points.
Total points for me, 21 out of a 25. I was shocked. I was like, this Roger Moore guy, he's not doing it for me. And then this movie comes out. I was like, this movie's pretty good. And you know what? My favorite Jaws scene by far, when they're on the train and they're like listening to the door. She can open the door. And she opens the closet and this gigantic man is like hiding in this closet. Who knows how long he was in there for?
Michael Myers, just hiding in
the closet and jumps out. Oh my God. It was so funny. Best Jaws scene of the whole movie. 21 out of 20.
Yeah, I gave it a 22. I think this is a really solid movie, to be honest with you. I mean, I like Live and Let Die. I still think that's a solid Bond movie, but this one is top tier Bond movie, like really top tier. And you know what? Out of the 5 actors, some of them are going to have a few hits, a few misses, a lot of misses. Some of them.
Some?
Yeah, some. But he has 7 movies, so this is one of, one is good.
I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
I thought it was great.
No, I agree. It's really good. It's actually, so if you guys have not seen it, give it a shot. you might enjoy it. It's very fun. You'll have a great time with it. All right, Nate, what else is coming up this week?
All right, so next episode, we will, of course, be continuing on with the 2000s. Our second-to-last movie will be Gladiator from 2000. Just made the cut. The year 2000, of course, directed by Ridley Scott, starring Russell Crowe. We'll be reviewing that. And then next week, continuing on with the Roger Moore Bond movies, a film that apparently I'm going to love, Moonraker. I've only ever heard bad things about this, and not just from you, just from everywhere. Like, they, everywhere puts it as like one of the worst. So I gotta see for myself, and I'll have that in mind when I'm watching it. But we'll see how this goes.
Again, it's all up to you, right? I mean, a lot of people told me Jurassic Park Dominion wasn't good, and I enjoyed it. So you never know. You might love Moonraker.
I might love Moonraker, but like, what's everybody talking about? This movie is awesome.
Yeah, you might.
Or
like
it might suck ass. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
It'll be ass reeker.
Yeah. Oh Lord. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Anyway, if you guys want to follow us in our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix. More reviews, anything action movie, guys, head over to YouTube.com/GeeksAndFlix for the video versions of the podcast, or head to our official website at www.geeksandflix.com and check out all the podcast episodes there, video, audio, together. And of course, you want to join the Patreon if you guys want to watch the background of us recording this, behind the scenes look on us making these podcast episodes. Other than that, I'm your host, Alex Figueroa, and that is
Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
Be awesome to each other and geek out.